Let's lift up our hands and just give thanks to God. God answers prayers. He answers prayers. Let's just appreciate Him. Let's give Him thanks. One of the reasons why we pray is because God hears. He listens. And He answers prayers. Father, Lord, we just want to thank You. We give You praise. We worship You. We adore Your name. Thank You because You are a Father. You are a Father. And You are never tired of listening to our requests. You are never tired of hearing our voices. You are never tired of us coming to You. Lift up your hands and thank Him. The Almighty Father, the Everlasting Father, All-Sufficient Father, the Father that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we can ever ask or think, according to His power that is at work in us. Father, we give You praise. We worship You. We adore Your name. For in Jesus' name, we have given thanks. Somebody clap your hands for Jesus. Hallelujah. I remember one man of God saying, if you are, I'm trying to recollect how you would put it. If you are giving, if somebody is going to offer you $1 million or teach you how to pray, which one will you pick? Eh? Don't be smart. Don't tell me I'll do two. If you are given the option of $1 million and you are taught how to pray, which one will you pick? Say it now. Which one will you pick? $1 million. Because you are calculating $1 million, that's 200 and something million naira. Have you ever heard this saying? Owo to niye abuku kan. Have you ever heard that before? Have you ever heard that before? Owo to ba ti niye. That's why you write. Even when you write $1 million, what do you put at the end? Only. Limited. That's what it means. You are limited to that. You can't go beyond that. The reason why you should choose prayer and learn how to pray is because there are some things money don't answer for. Some things money don't answer for. You like, for instance, your money cannot buy you good health. Money can't buy you health. There are cases that doctors will say, this one don't pass or so. This one does not have solution. But if you learn how to pray and believe God, you know what it means to believe God. It's more than $1 million. Believe me. It's more than $1 million. Because you actually even need to know how to pray and believe God to keep the $1 million. I've read about quite a number of people that won lotteries in America that got millions of dollars. One of them was a believer. None of them, I think I read about 8 or 9. None of those people, including the believer, ever made anything out of it. Years later, they were worse off than where they started. Because it takes God to sustain wealth. It takes God to sustain health. And that's why you must fight to know God, to know how to pray, how to believe God. If you are not reading on any book, read on faith, read on prayer. Because that connects you to God. You may not be connected to anybody in the physical, but if you are connected to God, the Father, you've got it made. Praise God. I saw Prof making efforts to pass across the truth. And that's one of the things that made Christianity to be appealing to me as a person, as young as I was, that I could pray, that I could talk to God, and I was seeing results. I gave up everything just to get more of that. James, let's go to the book of James this morning. We are going to be looking at some pillars of truth in the Word of God. As we approach 2024, today is the last Sunday in November. A couple of weeks, 2023 will be gone. And we're going to welcome 2024 in the name of Jesus. And it's going to be a wonderful year for each and every one of you in the name of Jesus. But we decided, the senior pastor and myself, we said, we are not just going to be doing, 30 days to 2024. 21 days to 2024. You fast and pray, and you do all those special stuff. We're going to spend some time to look at some foundational truths, pillars that you need to have in your life that will take you beyond 2024. So, we're going to be reading the book of James, the book of Peter, and the epistle of John. That's the first John. James has 5 chapters. First Peter, 5 chapters. And epistle of John, the first John, also has 5 chapters. So for a number of weeks, this is where we will, in addition to some other things that we'll do in the service, to know the truth, to have the pillars, such that whatever happens, you will not be shaken. You will not feel what every other person, whatever they may be feeling. So pillars will help you to be stabilized, and it will help you to last long. To last long, because pillars, they are there for almost a lifetime of a building, and God wants you to be stabilized. So, and James, Peter, and John, this is what Paul called the pillars of the first church. The pillars of the first church, James, Peter, and John. So whatever they have to say, we must listen, we must comprehend and understand. So let's start today with the book of James. James chapter 1 is a long chapter. I would have loved us all to read, but there's so much. Should we read together? Should we read together? All right, so I'll take one chapter, you take another chapter. So let's start. James, a born servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Are we all reading? Don't just look, read. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Let the lowly brother glory in his exhortation. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat that it withers the grass, his flower falls and his beautiful appearances perishes, so the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Hallelujah. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Amen. Let me just, the whole chapter is full of, if you want to take that just one chapter, you can take like forever. But I would advise you, get home, read. Read James. You can read one chapter per day, then other books that I mentioned. But let me just speak some truth within the time that I have and share with us. This old book was written by James, an apostle, who happened to have been a brother. I think his Message Bible or Amplified that says half-brother of Jesus. This man lived physically. He had interaction, physical interaction with the Lord Jesus Christ before he went to the cross. Aburo lo je fun Jesu. Do you understand that? He knew him physically. At a time, they did not even believe in him. They mocked him. In, John chapter 7 or chapter 8, they said, if you want to show yourself now, go and show yourself to them. Aren't you going to Jerusalem for the feast? They were mocking him. And Bible says, even his brothers did not believe in him. They didn't believe in him. In chapter 7, verse 3. His brothers therefore said to him, depart from here, blah, blah, blah. Why? For verse 5, for even his brothers did not believe in him. That was before the cross. But after the cross, they happened to be part of the disciples that God saved. And that same man that did not believe in Jesus Christ, when he had encounter, when he saw, they got to know that he had resurrected, became a transformed person. Became another person. To the extent that when he opened the book of James chapter 1, the first thing he said, take a look at this. James chapter 1. He said, James, a bond servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't any longer, the junior brother of Jesus Christ. He wasn't going around flaunting the idea or the privilege that he had living and growing with Jesus Christ, he saw himself now as a born servant. The word born servant means someone who is sold out. In Hebrew, or in Israel then, when you get slaves, when they go to war or you buy slaves, after some years, that slave you can free. According to the law, you're supposed to free the slaves. That's why they have Jubilee. After some years, whatever the slaves can go. That's what they call freedom. Even in our society too, you find somebody who is learning a trade, and after learning for some years, they take permission and say, I want to get freedom. Now, a born servant is someone who is free to go, but decides to stay and says, I'm going to serve you for a lifetime. I don't have anywhere to go. I don't want to go anywhere. Even if I have anywhere to go, I don't want to go. That's what it means to be a born servant. It's higher than just being a servant. It's a servant that is committed totally and completely for the rest of his life. And that's what James called himself, a born servant of God. Not only of God the Father, he said, I'm also a born servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am committed to God. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to serve him. And that's one of the best decisions anyone can make. That's one of the best decisions that you can make now and follow up. Because that person that becomes a born servant becomes automatically the responsibility of the master. Automatically, you become the responsibility of that master because you are sold out. And that's what happens to you when you sell yourself to God. When you commit your life to God and say, God, I'm going to follow you wherever. However, I'm not going back. It's one of the best decisions that you can make. Because the world wants to pull you back. Circumstances want to pull you back. But your life is your life. And the commitment that you make is your commitment. Nobody will be able to say, oh, I will have followed Jesus. Am I saying right? Are you the one? I'm saying right. You're welcome. Nobody is going to answer for you. Nobody is going to say, and you stand before God and say, I will have been more serious with God. I will have served God my whole life. I will have done this, I will have done that. If not for, and God say, okay, I understand. If not for your friends, if not for your relatives, if not for, you will have done that. No. It's a personal decision. And each and every one of us, we have the will. God made us with that. The will, either to go or to turn. Either to follow Jesus. But this man that you're listening to today, if decided, said, I'm a born servant of God, is a willing decision that you make. Not because, you know, sometimes when we are in an environment where you are being forced, that's like it happens in a lot of churches. Listen and listen to me. Some people, some pastors, some ministers, the only way they get people's attention is by force. You must do this, otherwise, this consequence. You must. So, if you are not careful, when you are in such environments, you don't know how strong you are. You don't know how weak you are. It's not a personal commitment that is coming from your life. It's more because of, I must be in church. Oh, I don't want pastor to be angry. Oh, I must go and serve, oh, because my leader, my HOD, will fight me. So when you leave the environment where it's by force, and you get to environments like an environment we have here, you are likely not to be so serious because nobody will force you. Nobody will demand you to serve God one-on-one. We can do it on the pulpit. We're not going to say, hey, if you don't do this, if you don't do this, if you don't do this, if you don't give, if you don't tithe, and there are threats attached. But God wants you. That's why he didn't make us robots. That's why he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever does what? Believes in him will have life. Whoever makes that commitment to say, I believe Jesus, I want to follow Jesus, then that whosoever comes into everlasting life. So we are not robots to be pulled by strings, to be put under threats that if you don't do this, if you don't do that. But God wants you, like the idea of being a bond servant, to willingly, if you read about Paul too, you find Paul saying a bond servant of God, a bond servant of Christ. That is, I'm sold out. My life belongs to God. And I want to know this God, and I want to serve this God for the rest of my life. I want to know him, I want to serve him. David was a man that was totally sold out to God. And at the end of his life, do you know in the council, he had so much money. He had so much influence that he could talk about this connection, that connection. He has so much of that. But do you know the counsel he gave his son towards the end of his life? It's amazing. It's amazing. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Let me look for the verse. Okay, 28. From verse 6, because of our timeless. From verse 6, it says, now he said to me, it is your son. That is, David was the one talking here. It is your son Solomon who shall build my house and my court, for I've chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Verse 7. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever if he is steadfast to observe my commandments and my judgments as it is this day. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, be careful to seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it as an inheritance for your children and after you forever. Verse 9 now. It says, as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. That was what was living to him. That was his counsel to his son. It says, know this God of your father. You know, in Christianity, in the New Testament, there's nothing like, you know, it's funny when you even find ministers of God and say, when you are referring to men of God, say, we are your grandchildren. God does not have grandchildren. Like now we say, our father in the Lord, Reverend Tunde Amosu, is our father. So you not think that you are a grandchild of God. No, we are all children of God. The same status you have before God, that's the same status I have. I'm a child of God. You are a child of God. So God expects you to know him personally. To know him personally and to serve him. Bond servants. To know him personally, to keep knowing him. That's what we're talking about. Reading your Bible. Praying. Cultivating that personal relationship. That's what happens when you're reading, because the Bible you're reading is the Word of God. And when you're talking to him, you're not talking to just the hair. You're talking to a God. The Bible says God is a spirit. And when you're talking, your spirit is communing is in communication with the Spirit. And that's how you grow. That's how you develop. That's how you get better. That's how you get to hear God. Don't say, you just feel that, something just occurred to me. Why didn't it occur to you before? It's occurring to you because God is speaking to your heart. God is speaking to your spirit. God is a spirit. So you just feel, I felt something here. That's your spirit that God is communicating with. Am I helping somebody this morning? So it's, James said, I am a servant. I am ready to serve. I am ready to follow. And I'm going to do that all my lifetime. Because he has come to realize that it's only in Christ that we have life. It's only in Christ. Senior Pastor was talking during the second service that the most tangible assets, the greatest assets you have as a human being is your life. It's your life. But when we talk about spiritually, the greatest asset you have is Jesus. If you're a child of God, if you have given your life to Christ, following Christ, the greatest asset you have is who? Jesus. And that Jesus wants to work with you. He wants to help you. So the best thing you can do is to be sold out completely to him and say, Jesus, I'm yours. When you begin to cultivate this truth and becomes a working knowledge, sin will fall off your life just like this. Just like this. Sin will fall off. Because you come to recognize that my life is not my life. I don't listen to my senses. I don't listen to my feelings. I listen to God. I follow God. Because it's not about me. I'm a servant, a born servant. My life is no longer my own. Jesus owns it. Jesus determines what I do. He determines where I go, just like a born servant. So I don't put my plans together and ask God to come and bless it. I don't put my plans together. I don't decide, I'm going to do this, and I just pray so that it doesn't look as if I've not prayed about it. But from the start to the finish, and I'm talking about relationship from the start to the finish, when I'm talking about job, where to work, from the start to the finish, when I'm talking about thinking about my finance, from the start to the finish, it's about you, Jesus, and what you want me to do. That's what it means to be a bond servant. You say, you know, when I was like your age, and when they talk about, if you follow Jesus, don't pray that God may send you to Burundi. So go and do missionary. If you say, Jesus, I just want to serve you. I want to be a bond servant. Whatever you want. But at the corner of our mind, we say, if I say, Jesus, take my life, you can just go and take. Some of you are laughing. It will take me to Zamfara. You know, I say, go and be a missionary in Zamfara. Those are lies from the devil that want to instill fear. That wants to instill fear. That wants you to feel that once you surrender your life to Jesus, then it takes you to the hard places where you don't want to go, whom you don't want to marry. That's what we would ask you to marry. Where you don't want to walk, that's where he asks you to walk. It will take you to the bush as if our God is backward. Naturally, that does not happen. So you know that that's a lie from the devil. I have children by the grace of God. The desires I have for them is more than what I can even tell them. I desire them to be great in life, in every ramification. Where do you think I got that from? From the Father. So he's a loving Father. Let me link it to one of those things. I think it is Let me link it with one of the truth. All right. Look at verse 16. He said, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from who? Above. And comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. That's who your Father is. That's the person that you are becoming a born servant to. Not a tyrant. Not a sadist. Hello? God is not a sadist. He's not a tyrant. He's not Satan. Sometimes Satan wants us to think that he has something to offer us, and God is the one that is against us. But he said, don't be deceived. That deception. Anything the devil offers you is a lot of strings attached. A lot of strings attached. He doesn't have good gifts to offer. Because he doesn't have them. He only perverts what God does. He only tries to attack God. But your Father, the Bible says, every good gift, that's what comes from our Father. The one that we are selling out to. The one we are committing ourselves to. The one we are saying, I'm going to know you and serve you all the days of my life. He says, every good gift. How many of you want us that? It says, every good gift. That includes job. That includes a good spouse. That includes joy. That includes satisfaction and fulfillment. So when you're selling out to God and say, God, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to know you. I'm going to work with you. I am yours. You are doing that with the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness or shadow. That means God does not change his mind. We close second service talking about the promises of God, the word of God, the promises of God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he said, the promises of God, they are yes in Christ. And we say amen to them, to the glory of God. Promises to give you a future, to give you expected end. They are coming to pass. That's your Father. That's the one you are selling out to completely and totally as a born servant. So it's every good gift, every perfect gift, it comes from above. And who is above? Satan is not above. He's beneath. He's here on earth trying to influence, trying to deceive, trying to maim and kill. Bible says he goes about like a roaring lion seeking who to devour. But our Father is seeking. He said, the eyes of the Lord runs to and fro the whole earth, looking for those ones whose hearts are loyal towards him. Those ones who are looking up to him. Those ones who are devoting their lives. That's what God does. And he's seeking how to put your life together to the glory of his own name. When you will know, when you become a father or you become a mother, when your child comes from school and you see the remarks, oh, an excellent student. You see all A's. And you sit at the end of the term or the session and they are giving awards. And your child, for English, for mathematics, for science, how will you feel? You don't know. I'm telling you. You feel so proud. You feel good. You feel this is something that has come out of me that is glorious. You want to pamper such a child. That's the way God feels when you are doing well. When you are doing well. When you are taking your position as a child of God. When you are taking authority over sin, over sickness, over disease, and your life is full of the life of God. God is happy about that. God is happy about that. And that's the way he wants it. He wants you to do well. Let me tap your neighbor. God wants you to do well. He wants you to do well. And we can see it all over the scriptures. He wants you to do well. God is not against your prosperity. God is not against you prospering, you being held. As a matter of fact, that's what he wants. That you prosper. He said, beloved, 3 John 2, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Praise God. How do I cooperate with God to see that come to pass? Look at verse 22 of that same chapter. How do I cooperate with God? How do I cooperate with God? No matter how much, as a mother, no matter the desires I have for my children, they have to cooperate with me. Hello? They have to cooperate. When I say it's time to go to school, and I get up to prepare their lunch boxes, and I've paid their school fees, if that child goes to school, gets to school, and decides to abscond, I can't read for that child. I can't attend classes for that child, even though some parents think they can. And that's why their children, instead of bringing them to understanding for them to grow up, they think they can. So they go to classes. Teacher, please help me. Teacher, help me. And they help from primary to secondary school. And some even make attempt to help in the university. And such a child will come out irresponsible. Why? Because the child has not grown up. So you growing up to cooperate with God is as vital as what God has to do in your life. You cooperating with God is as important as what God has proposed to do for you. And as strong as God is, powerful, loving, he cannot force you until you begin to cooperate with him. Until you begin to cooperate with him as an individual. All of you are seated now. You are listening. But it goes beyond what you hear. Let's take a look. He said, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. Be what? Talk to me, somebody. Be what? Look at that word, doers. What does it mean? Doers. Don't worry, I'm not going to. Just tell me, what do you think doers mean? Don't think about dictionary now. Just look at that word. You did comprehension now. Doers is what? It's not a Greek word, it's an English word. Do as. Okay, since you have refused to talk, Shola, come and take over. You want me to stop? Do as, what does it mean? I'm not asking for big word. What does it mean? Somebody who does things. That's just what it means. Doer. Practitioner. That's what it means. Doer. To do things as a lifestyle. Somebody that not once in a while. You don't call somebody who does not practice medicine. Like now, when I refer to myself that I am a medical person, I also always qualify as I don't practice. I don't practice nursing. I dropped nursing and midwifery practice in 1993. So you can't call me a nurse, if there's any word like that. Or a midwife. No. Because I don't do that every day. But my sister is there. She's a doctor in sacred arts. She's a medical practitioner. That's what she does every day. She wakes up, goes to the clinic, comes back, reads books, goes to the clinic, sees patients, prescribes, consults. That's what she does. So she's a doer of medicine. Just like you are a doer of banking, if you work in the bank. You are a doer of content creation. You are a doer of analysis, research. A doer, that's what, something you do again. And that's what God wants. So he says, don't be hearers only. Hearing, coming to church, hearing God's word is like one leg. Fine, you must hear. Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You must hear. You must hear, because if you don't hear, you can't even do. So hearing is essential. It's good, but it's like one leg. If you have one leg, we call it disability. You can't do what others will do. You can't achieve what others may achieve. You can't go very fast. Why? Because you have one leg. It's a disability. And that's why I think there are a lot of disabled Christians, inactive Christians, flooding churches, flooding programs. The Bible says, deceiving ourselves. Deceiving ourselves. It's like for a farmer to pack seed. Take good seed and go to the farm. And say, farm, oh, I have come. Look at this seed. I have this precious seed. And he goes back to his house. And 2 or 3 days after, Sunday, he went Sunday. He's going to go again on Tuesday. He's going to go again on Friday. Oh, there's a special meeting today by 4 p.m. The farmer will go with the seed, gather seed, and goes back home. What will you call that? It's stupid, Abby. We say it's foolish. You even wonder, is it mentally all right? You want to check up the head. Why? Because it doesn't make sense. You gather seed, but you're not. What is expected is that you plant the seed so that the seed can bring forth harvest. When we are hearers alone of God's word, oh, God wants you to prosper. Hey, God wants you to do this. And we have a lot of preachers telling us what God will do. But that's half of the truth. Half of the truth. And half of the truth sometimes can be dangerous. It can be dangerous. So you have people who are just waiting, who are just thinking, who are just laid back, who are just like, hey, God, God. We have a lot of songs out of that. God, I'm waiting for you. God, I'm looking up to you. God, what will you? God, God, God. And God is saying, you are being deceived. Let me tap your neighbor. I hope you are not part of those deceived. Say, you are in deception when you are hearers only. When you only hear God's word. When you only listen. I know someone years ago who go to church. He will even buy message, but will never listen to them. Buy books, he will never read. That's another level. That's another level. Say, but be doers of the word. Be a word practitioner. Be a word practitioner. You read your Bible, you hear message, ask yourself, what can I do from this word? What can I put to practice in this word? How do I put this to practice? You have to ask yourself. Sometimes it will come expressly that, oh, do this, do that in messages. But sometimes it's not somebody that is preaching. You are the one reading. Like I told you, sometimes ago, I was in school of nursing. Was it school of nursing or midwifery now? I was just reading my Bible that day, and I got to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 talks about, let me look for the verse. I was reading that, and because I've been taught that you just don't read, you just don't hear, you read so that you can do. So that you can do. So when I got to that verse, 6:6, it said, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. And I started thinking about it. Thinking about it, which we call meditation. When you read the word, when you don't think about it, you can't find what to do about it or to do from that word. Let me pause there. Joshua chapter 1, look at verse 8. Joshua 1:8. He said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do what? To do. That you may observe to do. That you may observe to do. So when you think about God's word, when you read God's word and you think about it, that's when what to do with that verse will come to your spirit. You will just know that, oh, I can do this. I can act on this. This is what God wants me to do about it. But when you just read, like what my husband used to call those years, he said, some of us, we have spiritual diarrhea. What's spiritual diarrhea? Oh, I want to finish Romans in 1 week. So just read. And why are you doing it? Not because they say in church, oh, you must, or, you know, all those kind of things. So you just read. Therefore, you are in excuse. You don't even understand what you're reading. And that's the reason why some of you should go and get better Bibles. Because when you are reading what you don't understand, we happen to have one of our children to be a lawyer. She's a lawyer, and sometimes they speak some words like caveat emptor. What does that mean? That's the way Bible is to some of us. And it's English. It's not Latin. And I think caveat emptor means buyers beware. And you know, all these professionals, they have a way of coding themselves. So that's what it means. That's the goal. So that you can pay more. Of course, they went to, it's rigorous. To go and learn all those things. But your Bible should not be like Latin to you, except you are in Spanish. That wants to read your Bible in Latin or Spanish, you know, is English. So get a translation that's why we use a lot of New Living Translation. We read a lot from New Living, Living Bible, New Living Translation. The Passion Translation, Message Bible. These are modern translations that relate with us. If you are reading Thou, Thine, Paradventure, Wentest, I don't know about you. Even as far back as then, when I gave my life to Christ, I started with NIV Bible. I had this small NIV, small, always in my pocket. Because I could understand it. But even now, I do a lot of my studying and reading in New Living Translation. Then when I feel that, I switch to New King James. You must be able to understand what you are reading if you're going to be able to do. Because it is in doing that you are blessed. Not just in hearing. It is until you're able to do, like the illustration I gave to you about farmer. A farmer that goes with seed and does not plant cannot have a harvest. So when I'm reading, I'm hearing about what God wants to do with my life, and I don't know what I have to do to make that come to pass. James said, that's self-deception. I'm self-deceived. So, no longer deception now. You're going to read and you're going to ask yourself. I was talking about my experience. I was reading Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. Said, he that is taught in the word should share. I stopped that morning. I said, share. With who? With the one that teaches. Okay. I said, I asked myself, how do I practice this? It says, with him that teaches in all good things. What is the good thing I have that I can share with the president of the fellowship where I was going? I took some money and I went on purpose acting on that word. I went to him and I said, that person now is the rector for LASU, one of those LASU institutions. He's a professor. But then it was just Brother Muiwa, a medical student. But he was the president of the fellowship. I acted on that. There was a time I used to give tithes. And I didn't have understanding. It was like, oh, you just come to church. Like I was saying, I heard it. But I didn't understand it. I tried to practice it. It bounced back on me. Because I was like, but I sat down one day and I saw what God had said in Malachi chapter 3. And I started to act, not just on what I heard, that, oh, it's a tradition in Rock Foundation Church, you must give tithe. In this church, if you don't tithe, it will be tithe for you. Or, if you eat your tithe, you are eating the God bladder. How many of you have heard that? If you eat your tithe, it is God bladder that you are eating, or bile that you are eating. And your life will be full of. So you just do it. But I sat down, I read, I had understanding, and I began to see the promises of God. I was able to claim the promises of God on purpose. It says, when you are a doer of the word, say, that's when you are blessed indeed. Don't let me say you are not blessed when you hear. But it's not the real blessing. Let's go back to James. That's not the real blessing. The real blessing comes when you start to do the word. When you start to mix what you are hearing with your actions. For instance, you read in the Bible in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, pray always. You read, Jesus Christ went to the mountain and he prayed. He had communion with God. You're going to ask yourself, I also want to commune with God. God is also my Father. How do I practice that? Pray. Give. Fast. Those are things that we see in the scripture. Love. And you ask yourself, when you can practice the word, that's when we see the blessing of God. Praise God. My time had lapsed since I was waiting for senior pastor. Praise God. Can you lift up your hands where you are and just thank God that for this truth, a born servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is my heavenly Father, giver of all good gifts. And I get blessed when I practice God's word. Say, God, help me. As I go through this book again, bring this truth to my understanding. Let me understand this more. David said, I have more understanding than my teachers because your word is my meditation. As I get back home to think about this in the course of the week, as I read, Lord, bring me more understanding.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's clap our hands for Jesus. You wonder why we change the service. This is the reason why. We'll be closing soon because we are on a program by 4 o'clock. I don't want to keep you too much because we're having some time to to actually put that into practice today, we want to look at what we call paradigm shift. You know, a lot of people today, particularly people that are younger, you listen to a lot of things around you and you don't actually ask yourself, what's the best alternative to live by? And so what we are doing now is that we are looking at the pillars in your life. If you look at this, there are four pillars here. Can you look around? See those four pillars? You can move the chair out, but the pillars will stay there, right? Now, those pillars carry this building year in, year out. They were built to last. There's some pillars in your life that 2024, 2025, 2026 should be camped there. They should be holding you. Not just, oh, what's happening next year? You see, all these pastors and prophets, they feed on our lack of pillars. They feed on what we don't know that are pertinent for life. So you see, this coming year is a year of progress. This coming year is a year of vengeance on your enemy. This coming year is a year of your marriage. This coming year is a year of abundance. You know, they say, yeah. So you have all kinds of years scattered. Notice something. If you look at this building, we can change things there. We can move this, I move this here, I move it around. But some things, I must not move around, like the pillar. If I move the pillar, you better run out. Now, you should spend your late teenage years into your 20s building pillars for life. So that when you get to your 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, honestly, a lot of things I'm doing today, I got them pillars in my 20s. For instance, one of those pillars today is, be ye doers of the word, not hearers alone. I came to see that if I don't practice the word of God, I should not expect to see blessings in my life. Because if I don't do it, I won't get it. When you are reading, I heard you, I was watching the stuff from where I was. I was following you online. So she said, she was expecting me, And he said you should read the book of James, remember? And after she read James verse 1, talk about it. You know what he said next verse? Look at next verse. James 1 verse 2. Let's read it. Can I hear your voice, everybody? Now somebody said, what's brethren? Brethren. Okay, remove that one. Let's put NLT. Okay? Let's use NLT. Okay. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it what? An opportunity for great joy. Wow. Did you read that? Next verse. For why? For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. And next. So let it grow. What's that? Your endurance. For when your endurance is fully developed, perfect and complete, needing nothing. I was told that I want my life to be perfect and complete. I want everything to be working well in my life. And the way there is endurance. And the way to get endurance is that I should be happy, I should rejoice when I face trouble. For instance, today now, I just faced a trouble in second service. One of the inverters just blew up. 2 weeks ago, one blew up. I go around there, fix it, I'm going to fix it, I'm going to get it done. I'm going to go on. You know, I just say, hey, George, man, what are we going to do now? I learned that years ago to always get up in the midst of trials and troubles and just smile. That's why some of you are here, you never notice any trouble in church. There are troubles in church, but you just, boom, praise God, just count it all joy. You got it? Is that Mofe now? That's nice to see you. Please stand up, Mofe. Nice to see you. It was a copper two years ago. There about. Now, my friend that time we talked a lot. Remember Mofe now? And he's back again. Let's clap for him. Thank you. Great to see you. You know, so that's what we do. I just count it all joy. So I start practicing that. So you have to start doing some pillars early in life so that whatever happens, you'll be able to go on. Is that all right? Okay, like now, we're going to have pillars of saving. See, all these people that are rich, they don't bother me anymore. You know why? I learned in the book of James, we are going to read in James 5. Let's go down there, verse 1. Come and see. You see what happened now. This is we're going to see this as we go on. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries. You see, give me an NLT. You don't know what to call owl. Look here, you rich guys, weep and groan with anguish because of all the terrible troubles ahead of you. Let's keep reading. Your wealth is rotting away. Your fine clothes are moth eating rags. Let's keep reading. Your gold and silver have become worthless. The very wealth you are counting on will eat away your flesh like fire. Why? This treasure you have accumulated will stand as evidence against you on the day of judgment. Let's keep reading. Why? For listen, hear the cries of the field workers whom you have cheated of their pay. A lot of people are rich in Nigeria. They use people, they use their money, use their blood, and they'll never pay them well. So if anybody work for me, I pay them. I don't be like them. The wages you heard back cry out against you. The cries of those who harvest your field have reached the ears of the Lord of Harvest Army. Heaven's Army. So you can see. So some things you start learning, this become stuff for you. Is that all right? Are we here? So we learn today to start practicing the word. Start practicing the word. Start reading the word of God and do it. It looks dull, right? Pillars here, they are dull, right? Look, they look dull. Pillars are not interesting, but they carry the building. You know, years ago, I was worried about my life. I said, Lord, I want more interesting things. What happened? I'm tired of this routine thing, you know. Then I heard that, put your hands here. Can you put your hands on your chest over here? On your chest, on this side. You hear? Very, very routine, right? That's one of the pillars of your life, right? Pastor, I don't believe that. Okay. Take knife and put it there. You can put knife over here, you still survive. Put knife over here. Notice something about that place. It's tick, 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 tick. It's a pillar. Tick, 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 tick. Pastor, let's get some excitement there. What will happen? You start getting an ambulance here to get it to the hospital. Because that place is a pillar. All right? So we are learning pillars for our life in the coming year. Don't be moved. A lot of things will happen in life. But if you have the pillars, it will carry you through. Are we all right? Now, please, stop getting scared of life. Stop. You guys, I don't know about you. You just get scared of life. You look nice now. You look get scared of life. Hey, man. Am I going to marry you? Hey, am I going to build a house? Am I going to make money? Hey, man. Come on. Relax. Get the pillars and the principles, pillar principles, right? You walk through. You know, I had this confidence when I was growing up because I know where I'm learning from. You should have this confidence quite early. Listen. I am not telling you lies in church. If this doesn't work, I'll be the first one to be at the beer parlor. Are you hearing me? And drink away. It worked. Hallelujah. My wife is here. I use my life as an experiment to just depend on the word of God all through these years. So let's learn that. Is that all right? Learn that. When it is dull, when it's something you can prove. So we are coming by 4 o'clock. We will not have much to do right now. 4 o'clock. We are going to focus on marriage and money. And then have alternative approach to them. And we want to have a credible approach. That what do we have as prospect to look forward to? Now, if you look at people in your generation, they have their peculiar issues, peculiar problems. All kinds of things happening around us. But what are we going to hold on to that we can count on and we can push ahead with? Do that. One day, I was in Lagos, very rich house, very rich man's house. And what happened in that house? The boy, one of the children of that house, took a car, got drunk, flew across one of those bridges in Lagos and died. I was in my mid-20s at that time. So one of my friends, who I've been talking to her since in her 50s, was a social kind of person in Lagos. So he said, let's go and see this family. They own a big pharmacy store in Lagos. I think the Johnson's family. So everybody was there. And then one of the men sitting there and was talking to him. All these boys are crazy. They just leave any kind of thing. So I was sitting among them. I was a boy too, like that. And I said, like you now. I said, count me out. I'm not one of them. now I'm nicer now. I won't say anything now. But that time I just told him about, I'm not one of you. No, I'm one of your children. I won't live like that. I've got better things to live my life by than just going around driving car in the night and, you know, go climb one bridge and fall off. No, I'm different. Praise God. I've got better things to do with my life. It looked like as if I insulted the man, but I spoke up. Don't put me there. Don't put me there. So that's what we need to do. I'm expecting that your life will turn out well. I'm not praying. Are you hearing me? I'm not praying that your life, you know, just get the right stuff over there, your life will turn out well. There are certain things about, let me even tell you this, when you have trials, they make it better. When you face adversity, they make you better than just when everything is easy. Are you hearing me? If you notice those who do professional exam over here, the higher you go in the professional exam, the tougher the exam. Am I right? Why? Because the tougher the exam, the richer the salary. Do we get that? Is that all right? Okay, so last one. Let's laugh up every message again. Thank you. Okay, we're going to eat our stuff now. If you have, I'll take only one or two questions, then we close so that we can come by 4 o'clock to get some of those prospects for the future, we have. Is it possible today to really have all that you need in this life? What are you going to take as your precepts and prospects for marriage and money? Because these are the difficult things that the people are facing. And they just kind of easy, and they are wondering how life will turn out. Okay, one or two questions, Shola, before we go. Anybody, you got a question? A lot of people have gone to school, and they'll be coming back for December again, for Christmas. All right. Anyone? Yeah, you got a question, Kelly. All right. All right.
Good afternoon, sir.
Can you move to that? Okay, stay there. Call the speaker. All right, let's hear it.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
There is this thing you said last week, Sunday.
Yeah.
That anybody can marry anybody, that we can marry, anyone can marry anyone. So there is this thing I've been hearing that means Muslim can marry Christian. For me, I believe Muslim cannot marry. So I want you to clarify that not Muslim can marry Christian.
Thank you. I did in secondary school mathematics. And I did what they call set and subset. Remember? There's this set that is at this subset. When I say anybody can marry anybody, I don't mean dog marrying dogs. I don't mean just, you see, I'm talking not outside, I'm talking within church. Those who are Christ followers. Honestly, marriage is not difficult at all. You mean that old girl? Marriage is not difficult at all. If you notice your parents who have very good marriages, that's one thing they do that is just common. The other marriage that are not doing good, they have different things to do that have trouble. But usually, when you see any good marriage, there's only one thing you notice about that person, the two couple, they do themselves good. That's all. They do themselves good. That's it. They put aside their own feelings, their own something, just want to touch that person. And it's vice versa. When it's only one side, it makes life difficult. When I do you good and come and wash your feet, you kick me on the face. After a while, when I come again, I will protect my face. Is that right? So, if you see any family, any marriage that's doing well, go to Baba Deboyu, to that guy. Even sometimes, I was telling my wife, I said some people that are not Christians, they can even have a good marriage. Do you know why? I've seen some, they are Muslims, but they search ways to do their partner good. I'm not saying you're married Muslim now. You get what I'm saying now? So the basic thing about marriage is this, you want to do that person good. For instance now, if a lady comes to me, maybe I want to marry now, and they say, you have to marry me, you have to have a lot of money. They're not doing me good. You should be asking me, how can we make money together to take care of our lives? That's better. It's not just only about what you can get from me, but what I can get to you and what you can get back to me. And that's where life is. Is that all right? That's why you should not be bothered at all about you're marrying somebody and they become a body. You cannot be a body now. If I marry him, he's a lawyer, right? Stand up. He's a lawyer. if I marry him, all my law cases will be handled. And there'll be inputs in my life from legal point of view. And then he's going to earn money too from his clients. And we're going to spend the money together, right? And me too, that I'm coming as a pastor, I'll be able to give him side of God too. See, not just only I'm marrying him so I can just carry him and go. No. See, now, thank you. So you can see that. Now, so always be looking for the good.
Pastor, is that the will of God?
God is good. Say that with me. God is good. God is good. What did I say? Just put O in the name of God is good. God. So be thinking of good. Thinking of good. You know, some of you, you know why you keep coming here? Because I was trying to do you good. I want to be your friend. If you have parents like that, you know, my children too. One day I just woke up and said, my kids are my colleagues now. They're no longer small. I'm going to do them good all my life. Is that all right? And that will make life. So stop thinking of just marriage is difficult. Bah, bah, bah. Okay, how to get a job. How to get a job. It's not difficult to get a job.
That's what you don't know. I have.
Relax. Human beings are the same everywhere. Are you hearing me? They give you something to do and you didn't do it. They're going to punish you. That's the law of life. The punishment differs upon the person's attitude. Are you hearing me? You can't go to a place and be faithful and have problems. But even if you have problems, that will help you to go on. Yeah, next one. So that's clear. Next one.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Please, sir, what is first fruit and sacrificial giving? Because I have had so many teachings about these two from many pastors.
But see, the pastors, they are busy talking about money all the time. Can you say one? This money, sacrificial, can you come? First, can you come? They're just busy. At this stage of your life, you should be learning fantastic power thing about finances, about life, about kingdom of God. These pastors don't know what to make really important. So it's not first fruit. You don't have any fruit first before you come out first. They should teach you first of all to honor the person of God. To honor God. To honor God. Some people in the Bible, they gave God everything because they honor him. Not because they just want to ration. You know, you ration to back to marriage again. Back to marriage again. You know, my wife one time, she wanted to travel abroad. I said, Lord, how can I really help my wife? How can I just help her in this traveling? And somebody gave me this huge amount of money in dollars. You know, I got to, you want to take my picture? Thank you. let me post for you. All right. Thank you. That's been nice. All right. See, I got home and I got this amount of money, a lot of money, and I got home and I said, dear, use this money for your airfare to go abroad. Use this other one to buy things you need abroad, and for the children, this. And what remains is very small. She said, what about you? I said, forget it. You know, I'm not a high-class person. I'm a low-profile person. And kind of a thing. See, that's honoring my wife. So, number one, who is God in your life? Do you really honor him? Do you really honor him? See, not just a first fruit or clinical. No. My father I was born in Ivory Coast, and they have all this Buddha do kidding. You know what Buddha do that for party? They never get to me because you don't enter. Like, I just walk off. Omakeneko, I don't care. You know, I don't honor such a thing. My daddy does this, they call him Omakeneko. My father will do like that. Father, move beside Abada and give them. After I get to Abada Minko, you know, that kind of a thing. You should honor God. There was a guy who was a very rich guy, but he was wicked. And one day Jesus was passing by. So he climbed a tree to see Jesus. And Jesus just stopped and said, Zacchaeus, today, amen, this is one of those crabs in the city. And he said, today I'm going to be in your house. Whoa! Man, I'm going to honor Jesus. They started saying, oh, he's going with a sinner. He stopped and said, look here, I'm giving half of my goods to the poor. And if I take it from anybody, I give them four times back. That's what the federal government needs to get all our money back. they can take them to EFCC. They will never get all the money. Because when they honor God, they will respond well to men. Are you hearing me? Let me tell you, people are in church over here. Okay, Baba Yehu is here now. What ask them, come on. Because these people, they honor God. See, Baba Yehu is a branch manager at Access. He goes to the prison almost twice. They go down there to go and work, helping prisoners. Now we are raising clothes for them. We want to honor God because human beings are the image of God. So don't think about first fruit and first. You know, thank God for 10%. But a time comes that 10% is even not enough for God. There's so much vast need. Okay, we're gonna wait now. 10% is big when it is small money. When you have 100 million, how much for God? 10 million. You got 90 million rest for yourself. But when it is 10,000, 1,000 God. So have a largeness of heart that I'm just going to bless God. I'm just going to trust God. I just want to. You know, several times I've taken almost my last money and just dump it. Not because I'm trying to do first fruit or second fruit or tithe fruit or something. You just want to. Is that all right? So don't let these pastors bug you. There are people that will just say, God, what is your need, God, this morning? What's your need? Like yesterday, I was in a meeting. I was in a wedding, came out of that meeting to go to. And this young man and his wife just gave themselves to go and serve God. They are from all this primitive tribe in Kebbi State, where they still wear nothing. You know, he got born again and he wanted to serve God with his life. And he said, I want to be a missionary now. And I saw his picture then. And now he went to, boy, I was almost crying. He went to mission school. He lost 2 children. And he said he won't leave school. He lost his first 2 children. He said, I'm going to serve God. I don't care what happened to me. And then his wife got together again. They got another child. Now, they are going back to that Niger Republic, now KB, to go and serve God. Just, you know, they said we should come and pray for them yesterday. I got out there. And my heart just broke for him. Can you imagine? He's going to go to these places where nobody will have light or something. And just for Jesus, like we have today, by born slave. They could go like that. I went to school. Didn't go to school much. So you could meet them better than I could do that. And then they said something about it's money that will require about 300,000 naira to get over there. And I asked myself, what can I do? Okay, let me give some of the money. Like, I didn't have the money, but I just said, I'm going to give that part of the money. In fact, I want to raise the rest now if you want to help me. I got 50,000 naira down and the remaining 250,000 naira. I'm telling them, I need that money to them. Get that guy to go to preach. I want to help God. Huh? It's been helping me all my life. Huh? Oh, that's not just because I want to, you know, no. I'm in this together with God. The older you get as a Christian, even in your family, the older you get, the more responsible you become. You know, when you are younger, you like to eat all the bread, finish all the butter at home, and boil all the eggs, am I right? But as older you get, you say, Mom, eggs are finished. Can I get some money to the house? Where can I go and buy them? You know, you become more responsible. We need more responsible children of God. So all these pastors are saying, come down, Joe. Some of you, you need to be very angry. I hope that one of you get angry. Say, Pastor, how much do you need? Stop making noise. Yeah, this is the money. Where I go? I mean, you know, Pastor, how much? 100 million. Okay, take. Don't say anything about money anymore for the next 1 month. Okay, just take. Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice? The pastor will be calling for you. Are you there? Fantastic. So let's do that. Can we go home? Let's eat our food, our refreshment, and come around 4 o'clock, God willing. And then we land on something. But I'd like you to, if you can't go home, stay around here. You know, we will let you stay in the building. And 4 o'clock, we'll be here and just tidy up things. But really, I really want us to have some things about our life. Praise God. All right? Thank you. If you have some clothes you are no longer using, that you are at home, we need them in prison now. You know, the prisoners don't have clothes. They're not giving them clothes in prison. So they need your, if it is native or English, am I right? Baba, you native or you or whatever. Okay, so please help us give toward that. If you have some clothes, you can bring them to church next Sunday so we can give them. They're going to have a program there in the month of December. If you'd like to go down there, they'll be just see Baba, you want to at least prayer. They go down there. You can see all these boys, they sing, they praise God in prison. They are tired of so we're going to get that across to them. Wow. So let's honor God. Right, right? Tell yourself, I'm going to honor God. All right. Okay. Yes, let's give our offering before we leave here. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we bring our offerings to you and our tithes. We appreciate you as we give. We know that you are a God who loves us so much. You give us your only begotten Son. And this little we have, we ask that you multiply it so that we can do much more with our lives in the future. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Beautiful. Okay, ready to sing? Let's do it. Our food is blessed in Jesus' name. Let's eat.
Our Father, who art in heaven.
First time worshiping with us, can you just wave at me? First time in Rock Foundation Church, third service, can you wave at me? Anybody? Somebody at the back? No, Pelumi, you're not a first timer. Praise God. Okay, so we are all omonile, like Reverend will say. Okay, just a few announcements before Reverend will come to close the service. Excellent Ladies Network have some food item, welfare item available, rice, beans, gari, vegetable oil and all at the security posts close to the gates down there. So if you're going out, you can just, if you need any of these items, they are available at the gates. Can we welcome Reverend as he closes the service?
All right, thank you. Let's go home. But before we leave, I want you to do something for God. Pastor, give money. No. I want you to do something for God. We have this small material. It's called Seven Great Truths. It summarizes in seven ways what God has made available to us, which we call the gospel. And then you can give anybody. Recently, there was a gate man around our area. I wanted to give him something, some money. What I did, I was to put the money inside the book. He loved the book so much, plus the money. And he told my driver that wish he could get more books to read. So I wanted to just take this and give somebody seven great truths. You can take one or two. Pastor, I don't know what's in the book myself. Read it first, but don't keep it. Spread it. You can always come back and get. So if you'd like to have some copies, one or two, I'd like you to give somebody. Can I see your hands up? You want to give somebody? Okay, great. Can I get those materials? I really want you, all of us, to do something about this. Instead of talking about first fruit, let's do this one. Are you hearing me? Just always money. In fact, we used money to produce this thing. Rabbi, we just left. They wanted to do an outreach to a school, and then we went to go and produce them quickly. Cost about $140,000 to make about 2,000 copies. So they cost money. We want to be a blessing. And you can take more than one, but no more than two. All right. So that you can use that one first. Okay. Can I get more people to help us? All right. Okay. So just give someone and just bless them. All right. Great. Beautiful. Seven great truths that will help them to keep going. Just give a friend or someone in the taxi going, you know. Sometimes it's difficult to do this because you don't want to be identified as those people that giving out. Okay, you need some? All right, great, beautiful. One, two, okay. All right, I'll do that over here. Thank you. All right. One? Okay, great. All right. So just read it and pass it on, right? Beautiful. Okay, let's go home, come back, and then 4 o'clock. It's tedious, but let's just enjoy that today. Okay, get up on your feet. While I was sitting down there, something came to me and I want to tell you. Do these two things regularly. Ask yourself, what can I do for God? Or you can ask God, Lord, how can I be a blessing? Money or one way or the other. I usually, when I get money like this, the next time I'm thinking that, who can I help with this money that I'm having part of it? And second, I also ask God. So two things, ask yourself and ask God. Is that right? What should I give at this moment? I have this amount of money, what should I give? Not just only just, like now, I want to give my tithe, I do that. That's what I have in my heart. I want to do that, I want to be a blessing. Great, praise the Lord. Do we get that? So let's pray. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. For the time we have spent today, we have heard about what James said about being doers and to be committed to you and sold out to you. We ask that in our own little way, you will help us to plug into this plan and do it well in Jesus' name. Lord, you know the different things that are troubling us from being our best. Help us to solve them. Help us to sort them out so we can move on with you in Jesus' name. We also ask that as we learn to give of our lives, teach us to do it better in Jesus' name. And we give you all the glory. And we pray for those ones we are going to give these papers to. We ask that this word on this paper will touch their life in Jesus' name. And they bring them to a particular place of knowing you the more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's share the grace together. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, tell the guy, surely come back this evening. 4 o'clock. Thank you. Great. Have a wonderful week ahead of you.